I'm Peggy. I'm an abstinent compulsive eater, and my abstinence date is February 9th, 1986. So I've been here most of my life. I've been an abstinent compulsive eater, and I very much appreciate having several decades of freedom from obsessive food disorders. I've gotten to live a fairly normal life. I had a career. I've retired. I got married. I had my baby. We raised her in Palos Verdes, California, sent her to college. She wanted to go in the East, and she ended up in Washington, D.C. to get her master's. And excuse me. And so we moved out here. So here I am on the East Coast now. And I appreciate Zoom too. A lot of my meetings are Zoom meetings. OA saved me from that condition of being a compulsive eater. Quickly, the background, I went to grade school in Phoenix, Arizona, junior high school in San Francisco. I went to high school in South America. I was in a British boarding school in Lima, Peru. We came back to the States. I was in three different states for my last year of high school. Then we went to Los Angeles. And people usually ask if my father was in the military. No, my mother kept changing fathers, and every time she got married or divorced, we moved. And that's why we moved around so many times. And so I was a little bit insecure, not having a real father. A real father will protect you from anything. And my stepfathers were honorable guys, but they didn't love us. They married my mother, in spite of the fact that she had children from her previous marriage. And so they were decent, but not really loving. And I couldn't expect them to send me to college or help me in any way. And so I was pretty much on my own. I started working in Los Angeles. I had been a musician since I was 6 years old. And in Los Angeles, they needed musicians. We mostly do recording. We record the music for movies and TV shows and for the CDs. And the tour bands are formed there. And so at any time, if you hear music and you don't see the band or the orchestra that's playing it, it was probably recorded in Los Angeles. We're in the union, and we make livable wages in there. Since I left Los Angeles, I've met musicians in other towns, and I've learned it's not like that for musicians in other cities. They don't work as musicians. They have other jobs, and then they'll play in pubs or something on the weekends or at night. So I found out that I'm very lucky that I was in Los Angeles, where a million people at that time, a third of the people in the city worked in the entertainment industry in some capacity or another. So, and the skills I had, I fit right in. So I was Peggy, the bass player, for 47 years. After a few years, hi, Steve, I can't talk right now.
Okay, I'm going to take the car for a walk.
Okay. That was my husband popping his head in. We've been married for 35 years, and I owe that to my 12-step programs too. And that's why I wear swimsuits, actually. We compromise. Our thermostat is set at 75. I like it cooler than that. My husband likes it warmer than that. So I wear swimsuits in the house, and he wears sweatshirts. But if we played those thermostat wars and sneaked around and changed the thermostat and the other one wasn't looking, I don't know if we could stay married all this time if we didn't compromise on that and a few other things. So After a few years in the music business, I started working for famous rock people, rock musicians, and they partied, they drank and used drugs all the time. So I started doing it too. And wow, that was my diet, my next diet. I lost a lot of weight. I didn't eat at all when I was drinking and doing drugs. I had been on diets forever because my thighs were too big for the rest of me. I have to back up. In San Francisco is where I started going through puberty and chubbing out. You know, we get a little puffy when we're doing that. And my thighs became too big for the rest of me. And I was very self-conscious about that. And when I was eating compulsively and gained a lot of weight, my upper arms were also very fat. That's where my fat cells are. If I gain 2 pounds today, there will be one on each thigh. None of it here, where teenage girls like to have it. And so I got very skinny in the rock and roll business. It's not very healthy, though. It ruined my life in several ways. I stopped working altogether because I was drinking and doing drugs. My alcohol, cocaine, and nicotine diet that had worked so well was backfiring on me. So I had to quit doing that in 1984, and I went to OA and I started eating compulsively, just binge eating nonstop. And so they told me about OA, and I went to OA, and I didn't want to work another program, but I needed it. So I went in there. In Los Angeles, there were hundreds of OA meetings. You could go to a meeting morning, noon, or night in any neighborhood you were in. People were enthusiastic. Everybody was losing weight except the newest ones like me. And meetings where everybody was sponsoring. It was easy to find a sponsor. And we used the AA Big Book and worked the steps from the AA Big Book. There wasn't an OA 12 and 12 yet. There was the book that Roseanne wrote, and that's and some brochures. That's all we had. Everybody started with Gray Sheet, so I did too. There's nothing wrong with it. It's 3 sensible meals a day and nothing in between. And it was the first couple weeks of that were hard. I cried when my meals were finished because I was so absorbed with the obsession and feeling sorry for myself and feeling deprived. But very soon I was working the steps, and that's what turned my life around. That's where I got clear of the issues that I was eating over. The fourth step from the Big Book starts with a list of all of our resentments. And I thought, why do I have to dredge up all that old stuff? Well, because that's what I'm eating over. And if I dredge it up and put it out on the paper, it loses its power to drive me to eat. And I didn't know I was going to get that benefit. I just did it because they did it. And I was willing to do whatever they were doing because they were losing weight and they were happy. And that's what I wanted. And so I did the steps. I had 22 pages of resentments, and my very patient sponsor listened to all of this. And then we listed what my fears were. My fears were underneath all of how it affected me. And then we went to step 6 and 7. What was my part in it? If we had started with that, I would have said nothing. They did it to me. But I had just upchucked all of my resentments, and they were out of me. They were on the paper. My heart was tired. My brain was tired of going over and over these resentments in my head. And so I got free of them by doing the fourth step from the AA Big Book. And then, so I got to list what my part in it was. Did I start it? Some of those brouhahas that I had resentments about, I started in myself. Did I make myself vulnerable? There were many times when I made myself vulnerable to be victimized by someone else. I can change my behavior. I don't have to make myself vulnerable. I don't have to start arguments. That's how I can change my behavior. So I came out of that with a list of things I've done all my life that didn't go very well, and behaviors, what I want to do instead. I had lied, cheated, and stolen. I can tell the truth. I can do it the honest way, like everyone else, and I can pay for everything that I pick up. And that's how I can change my behavior, which changes my life. Just today, I was in a meeting and a fellow thanked me. He said, "When I moved here, I went to the meeting and I saw you, and then I bumped into you on the beach." And he said, "You didn't remember me, but you were kind. You were nice to me, and you walked with me for a while." That's the new OA Peggy. That's not the old Peggy, wouldn't have given him the time of day. But, and I appreciated him telling me that he appreciated me being kind. That's something I learned from people here and from my beautiful sponsors. I still work my AA program too. On Friday evenings, this evening, I Zoom every Friday night with my sponsor and a bunch of girls that I got sober with, and some of them have gotten abstinent too. There were a lot of us in AA who we called as switching seats on the Titanic. When we quit drinking and using, but we go headlong into compulsive eating. So what happened? I met my husband at a meeting. Oh, I started working again. I met some sober and clean musicians, and since then I've done some of the best work I've ever done. And I got my career back. I met this nice man and married him. And I never thought I would get married or have a baby because I was a career girl. But I opened up to, I kept my mind open, and I married him, and we moved to Palos Verdes, and I had my baby, and we raised her there, and put her through college. And what else has happened? Oh, when I got pregnant, I got scared because the doctors told me I had to eat more. And I went to my OA meeting and told them I was scared. And they said, "Let the doctors be your food sponsors for this period of time." They helped me through that. When I became hypoglycemic and I had to change my gray sheet diet that I was used to, I was afraid that I couldn't do it. I was afraid I would lose abstinence. And the people in my meeting helped me. Those first holidays that I went through when I was abstinent, the people in my OA meetings gave me lots of good advice about how to stay abstinent through the holidays. Now, when I'm faced with parties and buffets full of food, I go through and I take a few ounces of the cleanest protein I can find, a whole bunch of the cleanest vegetables I can find. I have a big, colorful plate of food, and I go eat my food. I don't look at the rest of it. I might glance at it, but that's not my food. That's somebody else's can eat it if they want to gain weight. But me, I want to fit into my jeans tomorrow. So I just eat what I'm supposed to. And I've had many adventures. Oh golly, I've gotten to vacation in different parts of the world. I've worked in different parts of the world. In England, I was there for a month. I took an apartment near Hyde Park, and there was an OA meeting just a few blocks away. So I walked over there every day and went to the OA meeting. And I met a girl there who had heard my podcast. I'm on LAOAIG.org. They have a podcast of me and some other people and the Long Timers podcast where they taped us at the Westwood meeting and they put them on and they're still there. She said, "Oh, I just heard your podcast this morning and I thought I want to meet her someday. And here you are in the flesh." It was like a miracle to her. And it was very, very cool. We meet OA people all over the world. I went to Hawaii and I was there by myself. And I thought, nobody knows me here. Nobody's going to bother me. I went out on the beach and somebody said, "Peggy." It was somebody from one of my OA meetings. We're all over the world and we still help each other. I sponsor online. So I sponsor people. Right now, I have one on the island of Cyprus. And another one in England. I've sponsored people in Australia and South Africa and Canada. There's one in Canada and all over the place. So it's a big, I get to have a technicolor life. Maybe my food is plain. I eat what I'm supposed to. I don't eat in between meals. And I don't eat desserts and I don't eat snacks and I don't miss them. And I don't feel sorry for myself because if I had kept eating compulsively, my life would have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. It was getting smaller and smaller. That's what happens. There was a lady in my early meetings. We called her Grandma Nikki, and she used to share that she didn't see her grandchildren for 2 years because compulsive eating kept her in her apartment. She didn't want to see anybody, and they didn't want to see her either. And she wondered sometimes what her grandchildren looked like now, but she was eating compulsively too badly to go out and see them or let them come in. She broke my heart. What a story. And she ate the same three meals every day. She'd been doing that for 7 years. She was abstinent and she was happily in her grandchildren's life. And she was so happy to be a grandma and she loved those kids and they loved her back. And she was one of those success stories that's very inspiring. I remember her, even though it's probably been 30, more than 30 years since I saw her. I still remember her. So now I'm in Bethany Beach, Delaware. There's no OA meetings here. There's one that I can drive to half an hour away one day a week. And so I do meetings on Zoom. And I'm very grateful to have them, these OA meetings. I can't think of anything else to say. And I only have 2 minutes left anyway. So I'm happy to bequeath those to the next person who wants to speak. I'm very grateful for abstinence. Thank you for keeping me abstinent for one more day, no matter what.